As I signed the lease, I remember saying to myself, having been through all that I'd been through, this will not fail. Welcome to On the Verge. I'm your host, Kara Bradley, bringing you our final episode of the Entrepreneur Series. Today, I bring you my greatest accomplishment, Verge Yoga, the business I founded over 15 years ago and recently sold just before the pandemic. I bring you the stories of the highs and the lows of being a lonely leader in a business, of the excitement and the real down-to-earth moments when I find myself on my knees. This journey of being an entrepreneur has been colored with the full spectrum of emotions. And I hope that this series has given you some insight, some backstage insight as to what an entrepreneur goes through, what it takes to really dig in and get your ideas into action, and really what is the reality of the many, many failures and the few successes that we can enjoy as we lean in to our passion and our purpose. Thanks so much for joining me. So we left New Hampshire and I ended up in Wayne, Pennsylvania. And for about a year and a half, I didn't work. It's like the first time ever. And since, I started practicing yoga and I knew I wanted to teach. And so I started teaching without training. Within a year or two, I had a slew of yoga jobs all over the main line. I was teaching at schools. I was teaching at gyms. I was teaching at a yoga studio. I had private clients. I had small groups. So within a few years of starting to teach yoga, I started a yoga business. I rented studio space from a ballet studio in Wayne Ballet. And I just started teaching a couple of classes on my own. And one day I was standing in the parking lot with my friend Johnny Gillespie. And as I'm talking to him, I look up and across the street, across Lancaster Avenue, there was a big for rent sign in the window of a retail space. And as soon as I walked into the space, oh, I knew I had to do it. So we opened in September of 2004, Verge Yoga.
How did you come up with the name Verge?
I first came to know the word Verge when your dad came back from the Amazon. So he had spent 3 weeks with several indigenous communities there. And he told me when he came back about sacred spots of land where life thrives, where species are at their most diverse. And these places are called the Verge. And so when I learned about that, I immediately said, wait a second, you mean there's a place where life thrives? I'm like, no, you don't understand. If there's a place where life thrives, I want to know about it. Because I've spent my entire life as a human potential junkie, for lack of a better word. I mean, I have been so consumed with how do we flourish as humans. This has been something that has been a question of mine my entire life. And so hearing about a place where life thrives, I was immediately intrigued. So I realized that then and there, I would do my best to make Verge Yoga a place where people come to thrive and flourish. So through practices, through the community, through the space, through the music, through the silence, with whatever we offer, it's going to be part of the recipe for helping people to thrive. So when we started, it was all so new and exciting, and we were definitely the buzz. You know, because we were on Lancaster Avenue, people would drive by and they poke their head in and they'd say, well, what is this yoga thing all about? You know, 2004, there were a lot of people that hadn't even tried. So we wanted to create programming for everyday people. I mean, I could still think about some of our students like Graham, the lawyer, who was in his 60s, maybe even early 70s, that would walk to Verge every day on his lunch hour with his yoga mat on his back, and friends that would come in to practice together and then go have wine together. You know, it was like we always would say that Verge is the Cheers of yoga, that literally we know every one of your names when you come in. So a couple of highlights for me during my time as the owner of Verge was working with the Villanova football team and basketball team. Every Sunday night, I would drive out to Villanova and I would work with 90 football players. Sometimes we had up to 200 athletes in the room. And to me, it was one of the best things I've ever done in my life. They just, you know, these young athletes, student athletes just fed me so much of their energy. And I was able to offer them such a unique training. It was really one of the highlights of my career, I think, working with football and they became national champions. And then working with the basketball team with Jay Wright and his team was another huge highlight for me. I went to the Final Four with them. For me, that was really fun. That made being an entrepreneur, that made the whole process, the whole community really fun for me. I enjoyed that. Another highlight for me happened on Thanksgiving. I don't remember the year, but we packed the house on Thanksgiving. People would get a little flustered when you'd ask them to move their mat. And so I was just managing as I needed to do. I needed to manage the room. And a teacher, Eileen, came up to me. She just walked up to me in the middle of the chaos. I've told this story, I think, on a podcast. And she grabbed me by the arms and she looked at me in the eyes. And she said, "You are so brave." Just like that, in the middle of chaos, she acknowledged something in me that no one had ever acknowledged, or not that I remember, and something I hadn't really acknowledged in myself. When you run something, when you are the leader of something, you're putting yourself on the line constantly. You know, there's something about being right at the edge of how things are evolving and emerging. It shakes you in a way. It keeps you perched. It keeps you on your toes. I never realized it until Eileen had the courage to tell me, to acknowledge my bravery. And I learned in that moment to acknowledge people that put themselves out there in a way that's vulnerable, and they do it for the good of others. It is not easy to take risks all the time. It takes an unbelievable amount of grit, and it's tiring. Being recognized that day on Thanksgiving, it was a turning point for me. It was about 6 months in after we opened, and I got a call from Mainline Today, which is a magazine. And this woman was so excited to talk to me. She said, "I'm so excited to tell you that you have been chosen to be interviewed as having one of the top five dream jobs on the Mainline." And I burst out laughing. As soon as she said that, I said, "Are you kidding me? Like, this is not my dream job." You know, I was up to my neck in a new business, in trying to make things work, in trying to get things out. and hear, you know, people from the outside looking at me like it was a dream job. I laugh because I don't think any entrepreneur ever feels like it's their dream job. It's just so much damn work. But it's in your veins. It's in your blood. So I think I will always be an entrepreneur. I don't think I will ever have a lease again for a business, but I don't think I can separate myself from building stuff.
So tell me about a moment where you wish you didn't start it.
Oh boy. Well, there were a few moments when I wished I could run away from it all because the business is 24/7 almost. I mean, it's 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. every single day of the year except Christmas. So it was just always on. Here's the thing. You know, unless you own a business, unless you are paying rent every month and paying payroll and carrying the burden of a business, you don't really understand what it takes.
And does that feel lonely?
Completely, 100% lonely.
Was there ever a point that you felt like you wanted to shift or change but couldn't because of what Verge meant to other people?
That's a great question. It's hard to talk about a business that's 16 years old. I mean, that's like a third of my life. There's so much intertwined between who I am and who Verge is. I don't know. I mean, it's such a blur. I mean, that's the thing. It's a blur. It's 16 years. How do you really timeline 16 years? Oof, that's a long time to do one thing. But I started to grow weary, for sure. I started to feel like I can't sustain this forever. And so once that split started to happen, I knew that I had to start to look for somebody else to take over Verge. Because if the community was going to continue, it was going to continue without me.
I think one of the bravest things is knowing when to step away.
Yeah. Thank you. So I started to veer off on my own. And the first step that I took was writing my book. That was my first step outside of being the owner of Verge. And there was a lot of struggle in that because I was running a local bricks and mortar business while also trying to expand out nationally as a speaker and an author. And I think that I started to feel that division inside of me. And whenever there's division, there's going to be struggle. So I started to feel the internal struggle. And I could also feel it at Verge. I could feel the struggle with the teachers, that they didn't have my full attention. And I could feel the struggle in the community as a whole, that Kara wasn't 100% invested in Verge like she used to be. It's been hard. It's been really, really hard. So we went through a couple of potential sales over the last 4 years. And finally, we found the right one, the right fit, Emily Forte. She's been with us for 9 years and has grown up at Verge. And it was beautiful. It was seamless. It was exciting. We signed the papers on December 31st, 2019. It was such a fantastic way to start 2020. And then the pandemic hits and we are faced with a decision to close Verge. And oh my gosh, for the first time ever. So for the last 5 years, I have been tinkering in different ways to put my message out. For so long, my message was housed between the four walls of Verge in yoga classes. And I started to feel like I needed more space, more time, different people to hear what I had to say. And so I began with a book and a podcast that I recorded in my walk-in closet until you came on as my producer. The audio quality has gone up quite a bit. I also began speaking. And at first it was for free and it was local. And then the gigs got bigger and I started getting paid. And then I realized, wow, there is a legitimate business to be had here as a speaker. And I dove into the speaking business and learned. I learned from the best. I took courses. I had coaches. I did conferences on how to be a professional speaker and spent a good 2 to 3 years building a speaking business. And it's interesting because last summer I landed one of my biggest speaking gigs, and that was to present to Goldman Sachs at their women's leadership event. I was like, that's it, man. That is the Super Bowl for me. And I realized in that same moment that I didn't want to do it anymore. I realized as much as I thought speaking was next for me, it wasn't. It just didn't feel aligned with where I was headed as an evolving human, to be honest with you. I just didn't feel like jumping on stages at corporate conferences was really where I could put my best foot forward. And so I decided last summer that I wasn't going to actively pursue speaking anymore.
So, what's next?
What's next? Wow. It's a big question. It's a good question. It's an open-ended question for me, but I have some really good ideas. Thank you for joining me for this journey through my entrepreneurial experience. I hope that it's brought you insight. I hope that it's inspired you, and I hope that it hasn't made you too afraid of leaning in and getting your ideas into action. I love empowering entrepreneurs. I love working with newbies and experienced people who get really high from getting creative and innovative and collaborating. In fact, my new business is all about that. I am partnering with new and experienced entrepreneurs to help people improve their mental wellness. If you're interested in what I'm doing, if you want to tap into my fun and creativity that I'm sharing with other entrepreneurs, all you need to do is to email me hello@carabradley.net. And let's start a conversation. Also, I'd love to hear from you if you have an idea that you're ready to get going on, or if there's something that I've done that's inspired you. Again, let's get the conversation going. This is how entrepreneurs can continue to support each other, to root each other on, and to work together. So stay tuned in the future for more On the Verge podcasts and series, and I hope to engage with you soon. Take care.